I'm not ready for more Jacoby Brissett, I can tell you that.
No, I'm good. I've had my fill.
I am filled to the brim.
Yeah.
On Jacoby Brissett. That's true. I'll tell you, a lot of love for the Bozo touchdown parlay.
Yeah, oh, Wiggy's all over it. Wiggy's all over it. He wants us to make sure we tag him in the Bozo touchdown parlay tweet on Friday, which we will do.
Yeah, well,
we'll be picking more touchdowns this week.
Look, we can't at and tag every single person out there listening. So we will let you know. We do it every Friday.
Yeah, follow at Jones and Keefe on Twitter.
It'll be out there, but we'll CC
Instagram.
Wiggy on that specifically.
Yes, no doubt.
Yeah.
Doubt.
We'll let him know. I don't want to hear any squawking about how if we miss now.
I don't think we're gonna miss.
But I don't want to hear any squawking about it.
Well, we're 50-50.
Yeah.
Right? We missed on we've only done it twice.
Yeah.
And we won $1,200 for the people once.
Yeah. It's
still pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know.
Stay away from the parlay. That's what people said. Not here. Not on this show.
I have a guy still arguing. It's not me. It's just in my mentions. People arguing back and forth.
Relentless.
The guy's still arguing that parlays are dumb to bet.
He's like, statistically, they don't win. It's like, oh, is that right?
Yeah. Have fun with all your minus 110s. How many of those are you going to hit to hit on what we just
quite
hit?
Quite a few.
Quite a few is what you got to do.
You can add them all together. So you do. Get the multiplier.
You want to take some minus 110s under Jacoby Brissett. That's probably the way to go.
You will get a winner, though. If you take under Jacoby Brissett passing yards, you would have been a winner the first 3 weeks.
Yeah. And probably for one more week.
I would say one more week, you could also hit the under.
I think for one more week, you've got it. I was reading ESPN earlier today. Jeremy Fowler thinks this could be the last week for Jacoby Brissett. Potential benching in the cards. I think a lot of us feel that way, right?
Yes.
Miami has been circled for a while. Houston has been circled for a while. Weeks 5 and 6. So is this the final week of Jacoby Brissett? And how would he have to play, Keith, for this to be the final week for Jacoby Brissett? And we get what we all want, which would be Drake May in short order.
I think if he turns it over once, I think if they lose by more than two scores, because even last week it was 21-point loss, but it felt like 101. Like, that was just such a beatdown. But I think if, you know, they lose even by 14, like, even if it's, you know, I don't know if that's close or not in the NFL, it's, you know, two scores to a better team, you're thinking, oh, maybe it's not a blowout. But I think even that would be enough, because I think maybe part of the plan, which we don't know, like, they haven't ever publicly said what the plan is for when they're going to play Drake May, but the fact that we saw in week 3, the fact that he came in at the end of the game wasn't a complete disaster. And you can say, yeah, it was garbage time. Whatever. They still made the decision to put him in that game. Jacoby Brissett hasn't turned it over, but he's also thrown one touchdown in 3 weeks. They had fewer passing yards, Jacoby Brissett does, in 3 games than Andy Dalton had last week, taking over for Bryce Young.
Like, net passing yards.
Whatever. Yeah. Okay, fine. It's less. It's insane.
Don't shortchange him.
He's been... fine, right? Like, I think, you know, he's been kind of what they expected, but probably a little bit worse. So I think 4 games in, now that we've already seen him, the conversation really ramped up following the Jets game about when you're going to see Drake May. We talked a lot yesterday about how good Jaden Daniels looked in just his third career start for Washington on Monday night. So I think unless they pull off some sort of upset, which I don't see happening, if they just lose to the Niners and he doesn't light it up, which I also don't think is going to happen, Drake May starts week 5.
So that's what I think. And it's just if he plays poorly. I understand what you're talking about with turnovers, but if the offense can't get out of its own way, it's another 100, 150 yards passing, no scores, maybe one score on offense, and he's getting pummeled and the offense can't move the football, I think he gets benched. And if he turns it over and they get blown out, I mean, it'll be that much more. We said this after week 1, even when they beat Cincinnati. The bloom can come off that rose real quick. If you're 1-3 and you've now lost 3 in a row and you lost a game in there you shouldn't have to Seattle and you got embarrassed by the Jets, and let's see how Sunday goes against the Niners. The Patriots, by the way, at last check were 10.5-point underdogs. It's only the 5th time in the last 2 decades they've been double-digit dogs.
Oof.
Now, 2 of those, they won, both against the Colts in 2001.
How do you like that?
Not bad, right?
No. Another quarterback for them, though?
That would have been Tom Brady's very first start.
Got it.
And another early start for Brady. Yep. David Patton had the hat trick in one of those
Good
games.
Good player.
Yeah, ran for one, threw
Real
for
nifty.
One, got one.
Yeah. He and Walter Payton.
The late David Patton, yeah.
None of guys could do that.
So I think another one was Brian Hoyer in Kansas City against the Chiefs. So that's the territory that we're in. The 0-1 Patriots on paper against the Peyton Manning.
Because the Niners don't look great. This isn't of course, it's the Niners at home. That's a buzzsaw you go in there. It's like, no, they have all their guys hurt. They're the Rambulance loser.
They've lost
the tears yesterday.
They've lost 2 in a row
Yeah.
to the banged up Rams, as you just said, and the week before to Minnesota.
They're missing a bunch of players.
So if they look poor against the Niners, I think that's it for Jacoby Brissett. And it's not just me feeling that way. Again, I think a lot of us had these two home games circled. I thought they might do it earlier if they played poorly against Cincinnati. They didn't. They beat the Bengals. I thought week two was in play, but definitely these 2 weeks. Fowler wrote today, and him and Graziano went back and forth on all the quarterbacks that could be benched, and Graziano ticked off a few names. Gardner Minshew, who did sit down at the end of last week in a loss to Carolina.
Yeah, he know what the
should they go to Aiden O'Connell?
Now, once he's pushed into a corner, that's when he lashes out. He's like a coyote. So I think Gardner Minshew actually is right where you want him to be.
He's like a caged Wolverine.
As soon as you count the guy out, he's storming back, and they're going to rip off three straight wins.
That's true.
But he's all right.
So Gardner Minshew's one. Trevor Lawrence is another. Like Peterson. Well, what?
So this is night and day. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, not only do they give him a lot of money, but if you're just taking the play right now of Trevor Lawrence versus the play of Jacoby Brissett, but then also factor in who the backups are.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to Mac Jones? No. But you're going to Drake May? Yes. Yes.
Like, makes a lot more sense.
If you look across the league, the only backup, and maybe in Atlanta, like, depending on how people feel about Cousins because you drafted Penix so high, there's not a backup around the league that is primed to play and has a high ceiling like Drake May does. Everybody else is like a backup for good reason, not for, well, this is our development plan.
Right, and I don't know how Aiden O'Connell looked when he got in the game, but we all saw how Mac looked. He looked terrible.
Horrible.
So I don't think Jacksonville is going to make that switch. Who knows with the Raiders, but here's what Fowler wrote about the Patriots. He says, I'll go with New England after Graziano ticked off those other names.
All right.
He said, the Drake May chatter will only mushroom from here.
Ooh, mushroom.
And the sense I got all offseason was Jacoby Brissett would be the starter, but might need to win enough games to keep the job. And I think we're leaving out a massive factor. I mean, number one, the offense doesn't look good. Number two, they'd be 1-3 losing to the 49ers, maybe in blowout fashion for all we know. But the third thing is, again, how does Jaden Daniels look? How does Bo Nix and even Caleb Williams look? Are they progressing? Are their teams getting better?
Yep.
And Jaden Daniels leads that list, but Bo Nix won last week. Caleb Williams, I don't think looked good, but he put up numbers last week. 360 and two touchdowns.
Right, and he's a case that I think both sides can use, the sit May and the play May, because Chicago's offensive line is very similar to the Patriots' offensive line. Mm-hmm. Like, Caleb Williams is getting killed. So is this hurting his progression, or is he still getting game reps and it's helping him? Like, I think the jury's still out. Maybe Caleb Williams just won't be very good, but yeah, those are the three guys that you can look at, and they're all in kind of similar spots, right? Like, they're all on not great teams that I don't think were expected to make the playoffs. I mean, they're all high draft picks for a reason.
Yeah.
And but I still think you've seen progress. Like, certainly in Bo Nix, the first 2 weeks, poor Bo picks. He didn't look great.
No.
Week three, much better player, and they win a game. And then Jaden Daniels, obviously, was one of the better quarterback performances across the league, whether, rookie or veteran.
So I think there's that factor as well. How do the rookies look? Does that apply more pressure to the Patriots? It's a marketing thing. It's an asses in seats thing. It's an interest level thing. And on top of it, it might make your team better. If you're 1-3, it's hard to stand by Jacoby Brissett throwing for 100 yards a week. So what do you guys think? Is this the last week for Jacoby Brissett? And let me ask you, what are you rooting for? Like, this is another one of those games we talked about it week one against the Bengals.
I know.
Is it worth rooting for the Patriots to get pantsed and Brissett to look terrible to usher in the Drake May era? Are you there? Are you rooting for a loss this week? A short-term loss to win the longer-term war and get Drake May in there? 617-779-7937. We're not going to be all Patriots all day. We've been mostly all Patriots all week, mostly all Patriots the last couple of weeks. Celtics had their media day yesterday.
Oh, my God, a media marathon. Those guys didn't stop over there.
Sounded like it went on for quite some time. Yeah. We were hoping to have Terp jump in yesterday, but it ran long. So Terp's going to jump in studio today. We'll get some Celtics thoughts in there. I know Kendrick Perkins, very critical of the Celtics, so we'll get to that.
I use this phrase a lot.
Yeah.
Kind of a hater.
Oh,
Big Perk, tricking that haterade.
Big Perk, big hater.
He hates the Celtics.
But in fairness, they hate him. There's like a mutual hate going on there.
There's a hatred. There's a real rivalry. Who would have thought? Kendrick Perkins v. Celtics, one of the great rivalries in the NBA.
It's
shocking.
Yeah. You know, you had your Bird Magic.
That was one of the best.
And now you have Perk v. Celtics.
Jordan versus the Bad Boy Pistons. That was a good one.
I know.
Isaiah Stewart versus LeBron James. Tried to kill him on the court once.
And now you get these two.
Now you get Perk.
So we have Celtics thoughts that we'll get to. We'll get to Perk ripping into the Celtics. We also have Keith for the first time.
Oh, this is exciting.
In Jones and Keith history.
That's right.
We have a game of Who Said It that we're going to be playing today.
Who said it? Take some quotes, and we're going to need a participant. We're going to need somebody to join us. And
hello. Do you want to play a game?
Good question.
Oh, sinister.
Who wouldn't want to play a game?
Right, a little jigsaw. So, we will have quotes, and then you'll have to say, we'll give you an option, 50-50, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have to say who said it who didn't. So I'm excited about that. That'll be 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
Right, I'll be here.
It'll be high 11 o'clock.
Oh, 11 sharp.
Yeah, 11 sharp. That sounds better 11, than high 11.
The stroke of 11 o'clock.
Is when that'll
take that
be.
For what you want.
So if you want to play a game, if you want to make history on Jones and Keith and be our first participant or participants.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
We'll get to that and Who Said It
coming up
at 11.
Let me take your question that you asked me and let me answer it by flipping it with another question.
Yes.
What would Jacoby Brissett and or the Patriots have to do for him to keep the job?
When?
If they win, any means necessary, they keep. Because
no touchdowns, two picks, they win, he keeps the job.
So
yes.
And you might be right, but Miami, famously with Tua, and I know that ended up being a mess, and Tua's still talking trash about Brian Flores years later, but Ryan Fitzpatrick won, I think, back-to-back games, including a blowout win, and then the next game in comes Tua.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, they had a plan. Their plan wasn't based on how the other quarterback looks. They circled the date. So, and I don't think this is necessarily the case, but if Van Pelt and Mayo circled week 5 for Drake May, you know, if Brissett plays poorly, we might never know. Maybe be like, oh, maybe it's because he played poorly this Drake May. But if he plays well and then you still get Drake May, it's like, all right, well, clearly that was the plan all along. But yeah, I think it would have to be an upset win.
It doesn't even matter how he plays. If they're 2-2 and they beat the Niners,
but
Keith,
I think the thing that he's hanging his hat on.
And now it's Miami on a short week. Miami plays on Monday night.
Ooh.
Snoop Huntley, Skylar Thompson, Tim Boyle, doesn't matter.
Big trap game for the Fish.
It's just if you're 2-2 and you're at home against the Dolphins and they don't have a quarterback and you have Brissett, who's not really a quarterback.
Yeah, you don't either.
But why would you drop in Drake May in that spot? I understand the team's perspective being, we won. We beat the Niners.
But do you believe,
we're home.
Yeah.
We're on to something. We had the terrible week against the Jets. We took Seattle to overtime. We beat the Niners. We beat the Bengals. We're 2-2. We could easily be 3-1. Brissett keeps it. That's all that matters. He could throw three picks and fumble and get sacked a bunch. If they win, he's going to keep the job, I think. And I don't agree with it, but that's what I think they would do.
What if they lose and he throws, I hope you're sitting down, 2 touchdown passes?
Then
lose. Let's say they lose 28-14. 2 tugs, no turnovers.
I think if they lose and he looks good, define that however you want.
Okay.
Does he throw 2 1-yard touchdown passes?
Yes.
Does he throw
both the Hunter Henry and my fantasy team rejoices?
Does he throw it for 250? Like, I got to see it, I guess, but I'll put it to you like this.
Okay.
If they win, it doesn't matter what Brissett does. He keeps the job. If they lose and Brissett and the offense look good, whatever that is, I don't necessarily know what that is. He probably keeps the job. You need him to look bad, the offense to look bad, and the Patriots to lose. Then it's Drake May week 5. That's what I think.
And I think that's the most likely scenario. Again, they're 10-point dogs. But it is also kind of a crazy thing when you're saying, all right, the only way Brissett's going to keep the job is if he goes into San Francisco and pulls out the biggest dog victory of the weekend.
Yeah.
Now, well, they did beat Cincinnati.
Exactly.
Cincinnati hasn't won a game yet.
No, they're worse
than
we thought.
Still efforting their first win.
But the Niners are worse than we thought.
They are definitely worse than we thought. But still, I mean, Vegas views it as 10 points, which I can't imagine there's a bigger spread on the board.
Do you have it in front? I saw it was 10.5 the other day. Do you have it in front of you? Is it still 10?
Well, Sportsbook Rhode Island has 10. I'm sure in a game like this early in the week, there's probably 10 and 10.5, depending on where you're looking.
So here's what Andrew Callahan tweeted the other day when they were 10.5-point dogs. It's the fifth time they've been greater than 10-point dogs this century. Okay? At Buffalo, week 16, 2023. So that was last year.
Yep.
They were 10.5, or at least 10.5-point dogs. As I told you, Brian Hoyer in Kansas City when Cam Newton had COVID way back in 2020, and the 2 Indy games in 2001, rather.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So they are in rarefied air.
They weren't underdogs, let alone double-digit underdogs for very often during Brady's run, especially once they established themselves.
You would have thought there'd be some games the last last year they weren't double-digit dogs in some of those games with Zappe out there at the end of the year.
That
I mean, the Buffalo one, but other than that,
yeah.
No.
Huh. It's the only, but also the NFL, like there are so many games that they view as close and competitive that it's the only double digit spread on the whole slate this week.
Yeah, I think
you don't see it that often.
There was a stat this past weekend. I don't have it in front of me, but it was something like any touchdown underdog is not just covering the spread. They're like winning a bunch of games outright this year.
Interesting.
So I'll effort to get that for you. But teams in the Patriots position so far this year.
Hence why we're so bad at the survivor pool.
That would make a lot of sense. Yeah. That would make a lot of sense. Well, not all of us are that bad at it. Well, Nick and myself.
Yeah, that's true.
We have two winners in 3 weeks.
The Bengals this
week. I can't wait for survivor pool 3.0.
Don't pick the Bengals. They're playing
Friday.
The Frisky
Panthers.
They
can't go 0-4.
No, right. Yeah, good point, Bill. Let's load back up on the Bengals.
They can't do that. They're not capable of
Actually,
that.
It's an Andy Dalton revenge game. Andy Dalton and the Frisky Panthers taking on the Bengals. Two cats. What do you think of that? Something's got
to
give.
Something does have to give. I looked
at a handful of catnip in there and sit back.
Oh yeah. Forget red zone.
Watch them get in there.
Give me Bengals Panthers.
Keep the laser pointers at home.
Bring your own spray bottle. So I did look at our tiers yesterday. We do Tier Tuesday.
Yeah, what do you think?
I said, boy, we had Carolina high. That was my takeaway today when I woke up this morning. I looked at our tiers again. I said, boy, in retrospect, we might have.
Well, no, because you're thinking of Bryce Young.
We were victims of the moment.
Well, Andy, I mean, that's sort of the idea of Tier Tuesday.
It was
a
moment of passion. Yeah. And we fell victim there to Carolina.
I have no regrets. Andy Dalton deserves it.
Frisky little team. So you can jump in here, 617-779-7937. That's your phone number to get in touch on Jones and Keefe. You can also text the show at 37937. Lots of ways to interact on Twitter and Instagram, Jones and Keefe. You can watch on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Healthy conversation going on there in the chat. Looking forward to some of our Celtics takes. You can also watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. We have a lot coming up on the show today. It is a Would You Rather Wednesday, so we'll do that at 12:20. We also have an emergency key for madness at 12:45, is that right?
Yeah, it's a good one. We found a good one out there.
Okay, that's at 12:45. Mark that down. We have our Celtics Minute. We have our first game show, Who Said It?
Ooh.
In the history of Jones and Keith at 11 sharp.
Yes.
So you don't want to miss that. We'll have more info on that as we go along. And let's get into Drake May. Whether or not this is Jacoby Brissett's last stand this weekend, which we've discussed, what are you actually rooting for this weekend? Like, do you want Brissett to go out and suck, Patriots to get smoked, so we could usher in the Drake May era? He kind of sacrificed that battle to win the war, if you will. Drake May and his maturity is something we talked about yesterday with Tommy Curran. Is his maturity an issue, and is that preventing him from getting on the field?
I thought it was really cool that Drake stuck around to say hello. I mean, it's something definitely that I would have done as a young player to some of the guys I loved watching growing up. I just happened to be teammates with my favorite quarterback at the time, but that was really cool. Yeah, I'm glad. And I reached out to Drake on Instagram and told him I appreciated that. It was cool. That's a really cool moment. There's something about having that respect and deference that I just really appreciate. So I had a good conversation with Alex Van Pelt, who's the coordinator, about Drake, and they're all excited about him in the future.
Little detail there from Aaron Rodgers.
How about that?
On the McAfee Show. Talk to Alex Van Pelt.
Yeah.
They're excited about him.
They are. They better be. It's the third pick in the draft. If you're not excited about the third pick in the draft who hasn't started a game yet, then you're never excited about anybody.
Let me ask you. Do you think Alex Van Pelt really is all that excited about Drake May? It doesn't feel that way.
No.
Yeah, me either.
No, I don't think so.
I know what Rodgers is saying, and I think the Patriots, like,
Robert and Jonathan should be excited.
Yeah,
the
they
fans
should be excited.
Should be excited.
Mayo, I think, is
should
excited.
Should be excited.
Yeah, Van Pelt and Wolf, they're kind of like, eh.
It's like, anybody can hand the ball off. They don't really need a guy. Jacoby's doing a nice job not turning it over.
I don't know that I fully believe it, but we'll take him at face value. And it's Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. You can call us up, 617-779-7937. Don't forget, you can be part of Jones and Keefe history at 11 sharp. Who Said It? We'll be playing that. We're going to need contestants, so we'll give you details on how you can participate. Coming up later on this hour, we have an emergency key for madness at 12:45. Would You Rather Wednesday, also in the noontime hour. We'll get to the Celtics next hour as well. Celtics Minute with Terp, who was at C's Media Day. I will respond to Perk ripping apart the Celtics.
Perk Steven.
So we'll do all that coming up. And we'll continue with our thoughts on what do you want the Patriots to do this weekend? How do you want them to perform? What would it take for Brissett to keep and or lose his job? I am rooting for them to get smoked. I hope they get smoked and Brissett plays poorly so that it ensures Drake May starting in week 5. That's what I'm personally rooting for. But I wonder if the maturity of Drake May is getting in the way. We referenced this briefly yesterday about Jaden Daniels versus Drake May. What's the difference between Daniels and May? Most people harped on Terry McLaurin, which is better than what the Patriots have, but I don't even know that McLaurin's a top 20 receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, that's like and that's so overboard too.
Yeah,
right. Like you can only play. Well, they have Terry McLaurin. It's like name the next best guy.
Yeah.
Okay. There's nobody.
Yeah.
So like that's the difference. If you have Terry McLaurin, then he's starting right away.
Noah Brown or McCaffrey's brother. Like those are the other weapons that they have. Noah Brown was on waivers,
and McCaffrey was drafted after Jalen Polk.
Yeah, he's a third round pick.
Okay.
So I don't think the weapons there are good. That's one thing we heard. McLaurin again, better than anything
the
Pats have.
A good player,
of course. Although he did nothing the first 2 weeks.
All right.
But I'll give you that. I'll also give you that Jaden Daniels is 24 years old, and he spent a ton of time in college, and he's probably the more mature of the two players. I'll grant you that. The Rodgers thing, I know it bothered Tom Curran. We talked to Curran about that yesterday. He was a little steamed about it after the game, and it wasn't the GOAT thing that bothers you, Keith.
Yeah, the GOAT
him
thing.
Him referring
bothers me.
To Aaron Rodgers as the GOAT. It wasn't that. It was he was a little too happy and a little too unaware after the loss. Like, unaware that, hey, there's 10-year veterans on this team that just lost. You don't need to be all happy-go-lucky, goofy, grinning ear to ear. And so is that something, not even just the example after the game, but his maturity, his lack of reps, his lack of experience, is that working against him getting into this job sooner than we hope?
It might be, but it shouldn't. And I also think the whole thing about like waiting for Aaron Rodgers, I think it's more of an old school mentality not to like it. Look at the NBA. Like, the NBA drives me nuts. And it doesn't mean these guys aren't out there competing against each other, but how many jersey swaps are there? How many like hugs and kisses before the game? At least Drake May waited until the game was over. And what, is he supposed to be down in the dumps because the Patriots lost the game? They're going to lose a lot of games. So he's just going to be miserable all year. Also, when you're not starting.
Okay, but you don't need to be miserable, but you can act a little miserable on the, like, save it for the tunnel.
Yeah, I guess. But I think it'd be worse pregame if he was doing hugs and kisses and all that stuff. Like, focus on the game, play the game. The game's over. You have an opportunity to go up and meet a guy that you've enjoyed watching your entire life. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I also think Drake May's lack of experience is also really overblown. And this was something that we talked about in the draft process, because Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix are kind of extreme cases. Like, they were both in college forever.
Right. COVID.
Multiple schools and started right away. Bo Nix's case started a million games. Might be like a record for games started. That's kind of the outlier. Most guys don't have that path to the NFL. The last time the Patriots started a rookie quarterback was Roy off the rip, and it was Mac Jones. And it was like, oh, Mac Jones at Alabama for a long time. How many starts did he have? How many games did he start? How many seasons was he the starter?
Yeah, one plus year.
One.
Right? Yeah.
He took over for two at the end of one, so, you know, give him those starts. But he was the Alabama starter for one full season. Drake May was the starter at North Carolina for two seasons. He's young. Like, his birth certificate is young, but that's because he got there, played a few games like mop-up duty as a true freshman, and then sophomore and junior year, he was the starter. This isn't Anthony Richardson, or this isn't some of these other guys that barely played, and it's going all on potential. He had two full seasons, and he even followed up a year. He was awesome. Like, his sophomore year, he was probably better, and he was projected to be this high pick. Everybody was gunning for him. He didn't sneak up on anybody his junior year. Everybody knew he was a top pro prospect, and he started every game that year. So two full seasons of college, I feel like, is pretty good. Like, most guys don't go and start 5 years like Bo Nix. Like, that's crazy.
No, and I'll give you another example. That would be C.J. Stroud. Had 2 years as a starter at Ohio State. He was there for three, redshirted a year, and started 2 years.
Okay, like, it's the same thing.
So I agree. I do wonder if that's working against Drake May.
It could be. Like, we've heard that a lot.
And maybe the example after the game is one piece. I'm surprised Curran harped on that so much. I just wonder if he's hearing something. He didn't really go there yesterday, and we asked him about it. But I wonder if he's heard things about, again, his maturity level. It's less about the experience on the playing field, but more about his maturity level and can he handle it. I personally don't care about that. I don't think it was the greatest look the other day, calling Aaron Rodgers the GOAT.
Yeah, that's weird.
And again, just maybe a lack of self-awareness after a loss. Grinning ear to ear. Can you sign my jersey, Mr. Rodgers?
Like, people don't have to like it, but I feel like it's just a part of sports. I mean, during the height of the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry, David Ortiz would be on second base hugging Robinson Cano.
Sure.
And we're like, wait, don't you guys hate each other? Oh, right. No, you're best friends and you're going to have dinner every night while they're in town?
Like, fine, but they did it. Was it a good look?
No, it wasn't.
No,
but I'm
I don't
saying,
think so
like,
either.
But like, were you going to sit David Ortiz or like, are you not into it?
No.
Like, you're not paying attention?
No, like, I agree with you on this. Like, you should play. This should
Drake
not prevent
should play no matter what.
Drake
yeah.
May from playing. I'm not
right.
saying that. I wonder if the Patriots feel that way. If that's one of the things working against them, I would play him.
But is that a more of an old school
look? I wouldn't say sit him down because of it, but I agree it's not a great look. And yeah, it probably is a more
old
school thing.
That's what I'm wondering. And like, so you, me, and Curran might look at it a little bit differently, but I wonder, and maybe Belichick would look at it differently. But like, does Gerard Mayo even care about that?
Is Gerard Mayo in charge of it?
No, I don't know. No. But I'm saying, would he care about it? Like, it's up to him whether he wants to care about it or
I
not.
I don't think Gerard Mayo really cares about it. Right. Is it his call? Does
no,
it bother Wolf?
Playing
does
him,
it bother
no.
Van Pelt?
But
maybe.
Like my point is more is just like as the head coach, does Mayo pull May aside after the game and be like, "Hey, dude, like we just played a game." Like, I bet he doesn't care. I bet he doesn't care at all. He's like, "Oh, you saw Aaron Rodgers? That's cool. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is great." Like, you know, like I bet Mayo doesn't really care. And that's another one of the big differences between him and an old school coach.
So you can jump in on this 617-779-7937. Is that working against Drake May? And is just Jacoby Brissett's last stand this weekend against the Niners? What does he have to do to keep his job? What does he have to do to lose his job? What are you rooting for? I want him to get smoked, and I'm not injured, but I want the Patriots to get smoked. I want him to play poorly. I want Drake May week 5. What do you guys want? Mark in Medford, get us started today. Hello,
hey, Mark.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Not
I just
much.
Want to say, minus 10.5 points for San Francisco, I will still take the 49ers, but my question is this. What if Debo and McCaffrey were in the lineup? Would the spread be like 16?
14, maybe.
It's a good question.
Yeah, it'd be higher.
If Purdy wasn't dinged up, he's dinged up.
Yeah,
it
right.
sounds like he's going to play. Kittle, I don't believe is going to play. I don't think he's been officially ruled out, but I don't think Kittle's going to play. Debo is not expected to play. McCaffrey was just in Germany getting his hamstring checked out.
He may never play again. Like, that's a horrible sign.
Great question by Mark. If all of those guys were playing, what would the spread be?
So the when good players go down, the spread never moves as much as I think it's going to.
Right.
I always think a player,
quarterbacks can impact it a lot, but usually, you know.
I bet Debo McCaffrey is good for a couple points at least. I bet it'd be like 13.
13 and a half?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're begging you to take those two touchdowns.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, I smell a little bit of a rat.
But that's a good question. Like, it's not a full complement of 49ers.
All of those guys playing, I would take the Niners to womp on the Patriots this weekend and cover two touchdowns. The Niners really haven't been that good.
No.
They haven't.
No.
So, I don't know. Would I be a little tempted to take the points this weekend? Maybe. Just given the track record of upsets and, you know, large underdogs covering so far this year, maybe. But I'd be holding my nose while I do it. Let's go to Bob on the Cape. Hello, Bob.
Hey, the last Monday night's game, the point differential was 37 points. Now, do you think that will be higher or lower when Patriots go into San Fran?
I don't think they're going to lose. He's talking about the Jaguars-Bills game.
47-10.
I think.
Yeah, no, you're right. I was like, what the heck?
There were two Monday night games. One was closer than that.
So will they keep it within 37 is his question?
Yes.
I'll say yes.
I'm going to say yes.
More of a Niners
thing. You go out on a limb.
Yeah, I'm going to say inside. If you want to do alternate line, I would say they cover the 37. That was really his question? Is it going to be closer than 37?
Yeah. What do you think you can push an alternate? Can you even do an alternate line that high?
I think. I mean, certain books may be a little bit different than
Depends
others.
Depends where you shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
I guess.
617-779-7937. Good spread talk here on Jones and Keefe. We can get more into that. We can also get into Bill Belichick. Stephen A. Knows where Bill Belichick should wind up going next season. I'm curious where he winds up. I'm curious how many options Bill will have. And who is on Bill Belichick's shortlist? We'll get to that with all your...
I love my brother Jerry Jones, all right? I promise you this is what it's going to be. All he's got to do is listen to me. If Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones listen to me, they're going to have a chance to win a championship, okay? You got your quarterback, you got your wide receiver, all right? You got to get some meat and potato brothers, all right? You got to get some beef. You can't just get pushed around in football. And you're going to have to go and get yourself Bill Belichick.
Let me tell you. I've heard a million people say the Cowboys gonna go get Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
I've heard that a million different ways.
What else do they need?
Stephen A's got a way of delivering it much more entertaining than just about anybody else.
That is true. That is not an original take.
No.
But the way, yeah. What do you say?
Meat and potato
meat
brothers.
Meat and potatoes, some ham and eggers.
That's what
get
you got to
do. Get those guys up front.
Get that in there.
They got the skill guys. They're paying a lot of money for some of their skill guys, but they need some meat and potatoes guys.
That's what you got to do.
And Bill Belichick
to the Cowboys.
Yep.
Look, I think a lot of people have gone there. I do wonder if Bill goes anywhere, are you going to have a championship-level team? We can get into that here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Phone call 617-779-7937. We will be making Jones and Keefe history coming up at 11 sharp.
It's been a heck of a month, as outlined yesterday on the show.
It has been.
Yeah.
Although we detailed all of the things that we've done over just one short month on this program, we haven't yet caught the Louisville porch pooper.
Oh, he's at large.
The Louisville lager.
Very much at large.
Has not been caught yet.
Not yet.
Yeah. And so that's something, a box that we've got to check.
That's true.
On this show.
Remains at large.
We'll be checking another one at 11 sharp. First game in Jones and Keefe history.
I'm excited about this.
You want bragging rights? You want to make history on this show?
Mm.
11 a.m. sharp. You can dial us up at 617-779-7937 to participate in the very first game show here on Jones and Keefe. We also have a Key for Madness at 12:45. We have Would You Rather on a Wednesday at 12:20, so a lot to get to. Does Bill Belichick make anybody championship caliber just by showing up, walking in the door? And I'm not necessarily talking midseason. I know got into this a bit yesterday, but he walks in next year. He's got a full offseason. He can set his culture, establish whatever he needs to by walking in the door. Can he make anybody championship caliber?
I thought there was two teams that he could do it for. I thought the Jets and the Cowboys, because they have everything else. They don't need to worry about Bill Belichick drafting players, trading for players, going through free agency and not spending money. They have their team set, but they're missing something. And it seems like it's not necessarily the quarterback or the linebackers. It's Mike McCarthy and Robert Saleh. And maybe you can apply this to Nick Sirianni. Maybe you can apply this to a few others. But I thought the Jets with Aaron Rodgers, because there's a shelf life there, that one makes sense. Those guys get along. I think it's even if Bill Belichick isn't the greatest head coach in the game anymore, he's a big step up from Robert Saleh. I feel the same way about Mike McCarthy. And if he went to one of those places, yes, I do think they would be a lot better for 2 years, and then you got to start over. But I think for those franchises in particular that either haven't won, that neither have won in forever, I think it'd be worth it for him.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd look at that and say those teams now are put over some hump. Like, could they keep making the postseason? We talked about this yesterday. Mike McCarthy, you make the playoffs every year with Dallas. Could Bill do that? Yeah, Bill could do that.
Bill gets to the playoffs, yeah.
But is he going to put them over the hump and they win a playoff game? They win a couple of playoff games. They're championship caliber, in the words of Stephen A. I don't believe that anymore about Bill Belichick. And I think it's fair to go back and relitigate what he's ever done without Brady. That doesn't mean he can't do it, but if we're being honest with ourselves, what's he ever done without Tom Brady? He has gone to the playoffs. He won one singular playoff game against the Patriots 30 years ago. And so now he's the guy, the missing piece to put the Dallas Cowboys over the hump or the Philadelphia Eagles over the hump.
Yeah.
When, by the way, they were already in a Super Bowl 2 years ago. Like,
no, Cowboys and Jets even more so.
I don't know that he could do that.
So, but I think Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. I disagree with Drake May. I don't think he's the GOAT, but I think he's a great quarterback. And I don't think Bill Belichick, and we know that he can't take chicken bleep, right? And Mac Jones and Cam Newton.
No,
and turn it into something else. Or you can go back to his Browns days. He very much needs Tom Brady, but they're not asking him to win six Super Bowls, right? They're seeing, can this team that is already really good, can you push them over a little bit more? Like, is the problem in Dallas, and maybe some people think it is Dak Prescott, but is it the players, or is it maybe something missing with the coach? And if you can upgrade the coach for a playoff run, is he the difference in a game? You know, that everybody points to the Super Bowl that they beat against the Rams, and I'll give you the AFC Championship game certainly was more about Brady, but then the Super Bowl was very much a Bill Belichick kind of game plan, taking a good offense and just snuffing those guys out. So it might be the combination, right? Maybe Aaron Rodgers or Dak Prescott gets you to the playoffs, wins a couple games, but then for that do or die one thing, like, do you have a defensive game plan that can stop a good opponent on the other side? I think you have a much better chance with Belichick than you would with Robert Saleh.
Yeah, so I wonder what the options are going to be for Bill. And it's hard to know. Like, I mean,
might be zero.
Does Dallas move on from their coach? Does Philly move on from their coach? The Jets, the Bengals, like all these teams we talked about.
So Dallas, to me, without extending McCarthy, lame duck coach, which you don't see very often, right? Like, we made a big deal about Cora was a lame duck manager until he wasn't. Then he signs this new deal. McCarthy, Jerry Jones, for all his different things, doesn't get rid of coaches very quickly.
No.
Like, Jason Garrett was a coach way longer than he should have been.
McCarthy's already been longer than we thought.
McCarthy's already outlived it, but he doesn't have a new deal. So I feel like at the very least, unless Dallas wins the Super Bowl this year, that is going to be an opening. Jerry Jones and Bill have like obviously flirted with each other quite a bit.
Big time.
But when it comes down to it, it's hard to say for sure. I always bring this up as an example. Everybody in the world thought Jerry Jones was going to draft Johnny Manziel when he was, they had a first round pick. The year Manziel was there, like, oh, the A&M connection. They need a splashy guy. Nope, they took Zach Martin. They took a guard who's like an all-decade guard. And
but he wanted to. He got talked out of that.
Yeah, but he listened.
Yeah,
like, it's crazy.
Did.
Like, Jerry's the guy that makes all the decisions there. So I could see almost similar to Atlanta, where Arthur Blank, I think, wanted Belichick, but he ultimately listened to all his guys. So would the same thing happen in Dallas, where you're like, oh, it's the obvious move. Jerry Jones wants Bill. But then when it comes down to putting pen to paper, they're like, listen, we can't have him bringing in Josh McDaniels and Matt Patricia and Joe Judge sinking the franchise for years after.
There's a lot of baggage that comes along with Bill Belichick.
So I think Jerry, it might make a lot of sense, but if he listens to his kid or he listens to some of the other people, he might say no.
Yeah. So, how many suitors is Bill going to have? And can he take a team to championship caliber? Stephen A. believes he could do that with the Cowboys. I'm more skeptical. But I'm entertained by Stephen A. and his delivery. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. In fact, we're going to need you.
Oh, yeah. Get
to
in here
jump
now.
In. This is where the Jones and Keefe show needs you, the listeners out there, to WEEI. We're going to make history. We are going to play our first game. Who said it?
Who said it?
You think you're pretty smart, right? I bet a lot of people out there.
Yes, I do.
I think they know,
or
at least believe they know, quite a bit about Boston sports. Maybe a certain championship head coach in this city. You think you know a lot about the Celtics? You think you know a lot about Joe Mazzulla and what he said in the media? We're going to play a game of Who Said It here on Jones and Keefe. Your phone number, get in line right now, 617-779-7937. Let's open those lines up on the contest line there, or I guess a pseudo contest line. Again, 617-779.
Standard call line.
937. It's not a contest line at all. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Line.
It's a game show line. Exactly.
Yeah,
thank you, Keefe. We're going to get to this on Jones and Keefe next.